Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this moment and open up this service in prayer. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice, let's praise Him, and let's just give thanks and, and honor our Savior. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to gather. We invite Your precious Holy Spirit to be here and just to move amongst all of us and just bring forth the Word today. And Lord, we offer You our worship, and we love You, and we thank You for Your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to go ahead and get started. And I'm sorry, what? Is that okay? And what we're going to do is if everybody can stand up, I'd like us to stand up and we're going to say out loud the opening scripture. But I'd like us to honor the Lord God and His precious holy word as we stand up and say this out loud together. It's going to be from the New American Standard Bible, and it's Psalm 89:13 and Exodus 15:6. You have a strong arm. Your hand is might. Your right hand is exalted. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. Praise Amen. God.
Amen. Give Him a clap offering. He is worthy of that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're just going to sing about His might. We're going to sing about all that He is and all that He is to us, because He is a personal God. He is your God, and He loves you above all. Grab hold of that.
You paint the night. You count the stars and You call them by name. The skies proclaim, God, You reign. Your glory shines. You teach the sun when to bring a new day. Creation sings, God, You reign. God, You reign. God, You reign. Seas. You move the mountains with the words that You say. My song remains, God, You reign. You hold my life. You know my heart and You call me by name. I live to say, You reign, God, You reign.
Thank You for reigning in our lives, Lord Jesus. Thank You for reigning over this day, Lord. Hallelujah, as we give it to You.
What a beautiful day the Lord has made. Isn't it just wonderful? God is so good. And God has given us everything. Everything He has, He's given us. All His grace, His mercy, His glory, His majesty, just everything He has given us. And all He asks is that we give Him our hearts. Most important thing to give Him is our hearts. But in addition to that, He asks that we give generously to Him in the house that He has put us in, the congregation He's put us in. We are blessed every summer, every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursdays, and all the summer, winter, spring, and fall. We are blessed. So Because of that, we give to our God in this house. So, Lord, we thank you for all your gifts to us. We thank you for your presence in this place. And we thank you for allowing us to give a little bit back to you. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
During this time, we'll sing the Lord's hymn, Amazing Grace, a couple of the verses. And then we'll end with Praise God.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now
microphone not working? Is it working?
It's working.
It's working. Okay, good. Okay. So, okay, I told you God was going to, you know, change things up, right? I've warned you. I said, you know, the visions that I've had and others have had. I finally got a vision because y'all were having some. And so, anyways, but, and then I said, you know, we've had some words that youth is going to start coming, children, youth, and we're going to, we have to also, we're going to be changing up. I love all different kind of praise and worship music. I do. I love all different kind of music, and especially praise and worship to the Lord. But I know some are more hymns. So we got a hymn in there, Amazing Grace. But last week it was a little pop rock, right? Anthem Lights, Get Me Out of My Mind, out of my mind. Okay, so I'm still grieving and mourning, right, over the loss of my father and having a hard time getting in the Word and just heavy, you know, and just... So I was just going, Lord, okay, do you want me to go to the acronym of the word you gave our church, this power? And then I was looking up power, and all of a sudden it drew me, and I knew this. You know how, like, the scripture goes, boom, you know, you just popped out, and you just know. And I go, okay, Lord, I'm not going to go to the acronym. Okay, I'm going to speak on this. Then the Lord leads me to another thing, and it's a rap song. So I just want you to be prepared. So I've got, look at, I made this line, warning, caution, strong words, warning, challenges ahead. Warning, Christian rap about to start with a message to impart, so don't you take a nap. Warning, no nap, okay? I did the little kitten for you, Carl and Chris. Okay, So, here we go. But you know, I have to do this. Was that like powerful? Was that like, I was just like, wow, Lord, that is like so powerful. I loved that rap. This is Marcus Gray. He's known, Marcus Tyrone Gray, and he is known as the Flame. And I was just like, wow, Lord, this is really cool. And then how I'm learning the PowerPoint and all this stuff, so I was having a good time making the slides and finding stuff for the slides and stuff. So it was really powerful and amazing. I love the way our Lord can speak to us, and he speaks to us often in many different ways. And the two gentlemen, as we sang Amazing Grace earlier, and then we also heard Flame song Power. And so I saw these two. The next slide shows 121, shows the, Deb, 121, shows the hats that, you know, because I saw that one rap hat, you know, Extreme Worship. But I saw this other one, Amazing Grace. See, we see the power of God in both of these gentlemen's lives. We saw him using their gift of being able to write music. John Newton was a bad boy. He was a bad dude in his time. And he was a sailor eventually, and he had a Christian mother, but she died when he was only 7 years old. And so then he had a stepmother, and his dad had him be out in the sea, and then he goes out, and then one thing leads to another, papers aren't there, and then he winds up being in a bad situation and kind of like mainly a slave. And so he was treated, he should have been a more higher ranked sailor, and he was really treated bottom low, and then he was in a bad situation, and then eventually his dad got him out, but boy, when he went back to the sailing, he had the worst foul mouth. In fact, they said the worst of the sailors cringed by John Newton. And before that, he had met a girl and fell in love with her, who was a Christian. So he had had a Christian mother who was praying for him at a young age when she went to be with the Lord. And then she had a girlfriend. And he had a girlfriend. And then eventually God got his hand in the midst of a humongous storm. In fact, the gentleman had gone overboard, lost his life, and so they were all tying themselves. And he pleaded to God and cried out. And God saved him in the midst of that storm, and cleaned his mouth up, and cleaned the lifestyle he was living, which was a true, quote, as some know, sailor lifestyle. Not all sailors do that, but we all know what that means. And he was a bad boy in his hood. And then we see Marcus Tyrone Gray, how God touched his life. He had a father that was a drug addict, a mother that was schizophrenic, but he had a grandmother that loved the Lord. And she would talk about the Lord and talk about how in her faith God would be there for her and protect and help during challenging times. But Tyrone, being basically the man of the house at a very young age, sometimes his mother didn't even recognize him and would yell and scream at him, not even recognizing he was the son. And so as he gets into high school, he's got to show his stuff. And so he's getting into fights, and then eventually the police are called at school. He's 16 years old, and he's expelled. His girlfriend, though, is going to church. And she finally convinces him to go to church. Because, see, right after he was expelled, well, not right after, but in that year, his grandmother passed away and went to be with the Lord. So he was searching. And so he went to church, and he heard a lot of the same words his grandmother had spoken to him when she was alive. And the power of God was there. And he prayed the prayer of salvation. And Jesus saved his life, took a hold of him and changed him up. And then eventually he started attending Boyce College. It's a Christian college, part of a Baptist seminary. And eventually got his bachelor's in Christian counseling and is going for his master's. And the Lord used his life that he went through, those challenges. And then the Lord changed it up with the strength and the power of the blood of Jesus, power of his name, the power of his word, and transformed him and brought that together. And he has the ability to rhyme and came out rap. In the same time, he is using that, filled with the word, filled with the promises of God and the principles and the power of God, and touching the lives of others. As he had been touched when he was a Christian, hearing a Christian rap group speaking the word and helping him grow in the Lord and be changed. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17 says in the New King James Version, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." Slide 88, Debbie. It's the one that shows, I'm trying to get you to see if he can save a soul, defeat Satan and sin. All else is micro. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too difficult for our Lord God. As we see in the lives of John Newton and Marcus Gray, some bad dudes. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Our opening scripture, Psalm 89, verse 13, says, "You have a strong arm. Your right hand is mighty. Your right hand is exalted. Your right hand, O Lord," in Exodus 15, 6, "is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy." The right hand means divine power, omnipotence, all power, authority of God. His right hand. Psalm 89:13, the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, says, "You have a strong arm. Your hand is mighty. Your right hand is exalted." Well, in the footnotes, it literally means an arm of strength, showing his power. Luke chapter 1, verse 51 says, "He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in thoughts of their heart." Literally meaning their thought, their attitude. Often we see God says, don't look at the outside. I'm looking at the heart. I'm looking at the attitude. I'm looking at the motive. But we also have that promise that says in 2 Chronicles 16, 9, that his eyes are roaming to and out throughout the whole earth, seeking whose hearts are totally and completely his, fully dedicated to him. And then he's there, strongly supporting each and every one. But he sees the heart. In that 2 Chronicles 16, it talks about the warning. He's telling him, wait a minute, see, you don't have that now because I knew where your heart was. God knew. And so therefore, you're going to be given over to the enemies. But we have this promise. Mm-hmm. And if we're constantly seeking the Lord, we have him there with his blessings and helping us through. Exodus chapter 15, verse 6, "Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power." Psalm 118, verse 15 and 16 says, "The sound of a joyful shouting of salvation is in the tents of the righteous." We are the tents, the buildings now of the Holy Spirit. And together here, watch out. Because here we're joined, recognizing the power that we have of the Holy Spirit. He is in us, and that's why it is so important not to quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. to be fessed up with your thoughts and your attitudes. And to be right with God, seeking Him, knowing you're not perfect, but your heart wants to be perfect. Your heart wants to seek Him and be His always. He knows that heart. David, King David wasn't perfect, but he knew that heart. He knew that heart that once somebody's, you know, the log that was there and it was presented to him, because he was kind of justifying things where I am in this position, everybody else does this. And he justifies his sin and not realizing he's back in that deception and that deceit and kind of believing the lies, and here he is, and then somebody comes to him, as we all should do, lovingly, kindly, tells him in a different way, well, that guy, that's wrong. And then what does he say? And then he goes, well, you know, and then, well, that's you. Oh, wow, you're right. Just didn't even see it. But what does he do right there and then? Because he is a man after God's own heart. He totally, completely repents and turns to God and cries out, create in me a clean heart, oh God. I am yours. But God knew him. And he did go through trials and tribulations, but God was there helping him through each and every one with his strong, mighty, outstretched arm, his right hand. Psalm 118, verse 15 and 16 also continues to go on to say, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Power for Exodus 15, 6 in the Hebrew means to be firm. Well, here we are in a four-square church. And the four-square terminology meant marked by firm, unwavering conviction or expression, forthright, firm, steady, unswerving, solid, and strong, marked by a boldness and conviction, immovable. And this four square is what we are. We should always be four square on the word of God, on the power that we have, only because of the blood that Jesus shed for each and every one of us, only because we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, only because we also believe in the power of the resurrection, that after 3 days he rose again, conquered death for each and every person who's willing to receive that and to move in that. This is that power. But going on, the Hebrew says vigor, and then it continues, force, in a good or bad sense, because God will use his force to help and glorify his name, but also in judgment against the enemy. He will fight for us, and he will use his power against the enemy that we are facing. He's done that many times, and we can see that in the word. It also means figuratively capacity, means to produce, to its hardiness. And it says a large lizard, the ability able, like a chameleon. Well, that's interesting. I wonder where that's used. But I thought, well, Lord, in a sense, see, Satan's crafty, but our God is craftier. Just as we saw with this wonderful, incredible rod of Moses. And it's like, oh yeah, we can do that. We can make that snake. Yeah, but my snake's bigger than your snake. And my snake can eat your snake. Our God is incredible, and he's full of power. And he knows the craftiness of the enemy. But there's nothing that he does not see. There is nothing that he cannot do for us using his force and his power. It also means fruits, might, powerful strength, substance, wealth. For we have his abundance. We have been provided all the glorious riches that we need by Christ Jesus. Because all the fullness of God's was given to Jesus to give to us as needed to fulfill his will for each of our lives, for his glory and for his purpose. We have that. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, as Philippians 4:13 talks about. And he came so that we may have life more abundantly. Because he knows that the thief is out there roaming around, seeking who he can kill, steal, destroy, devour. But remember, God sees that heart. He knows that attitude. And he knows his eyes are roaming around. And he is seeking whom he can help with his strong, mighty right hand, his outstretched arm. We have that in our Lord. Exodus chapter 15 says, I'm going to read this from the Complete Jewish Bible. Then Moses, and the people of Israel sang this song to Adonai, the Lord. I will sing to Adonai, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he threw in the sea. Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God. I will glorify him, my father's God. I will exalt him. Adonai is a warrior. Adonai is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he hurled into the sea. His elite commanders were drowned in the Sea of Suf, the Red Sea. The deep waters covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Adonai, is sublimely powerful. It is majestic in power. Your right hand, Adonai, shatters the foe, the enemy. By your great majesty, you bring down your enemies. You send out your wrath to consume them like stubble. The New American Standard Bible says for verse 7, and in the greatness of your excellence, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You send forth your burning anger, and it consumes them as chaff. Continuing on, verse 8, in the Complete Jewish Bible. With a blast from your nostrils, the waters piled up. The water stood up like a wall. The depths of the sea became firm ground. The enemy said, I will pursue and overtake, divide and spoil, and gorge myself on them. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw my sword. My hand will destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, Adonai, among the mighty, the gods? Who is like you, majestic, sublime in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You reached out with your right hand. The earth swallowed them. In your love, you led the people you redeemed. You and your strength, you guided each and every one of them to your holy abode, your habitation. The peoples have heard and they tremble. Anguish takes hold of those living in Pleshet in the Philistine. The chiefs of Edom are dismayed. Trepidation seizes the heads of Moab. The tremblings are gripping them. All those living in Canaan they're melted away. The terror and the dread, it falls on them. And by the might, the greatness of your arm, they are still a stone until your people pass over. Adonai, till the people you purchased passed over. We are purchased by the blood of Jesus. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain, which is your heritage, your inheritance. The place, Adonai, that you made your abode, your dwelling, the sanctuary. Adonai, which your hands established. Adonai will reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and with his cavalry into the sea. But Adonai, the Lord, brought the sea waters back upon them while the people of Israel walked on dry land in the midst of the sea. Also, Miriam the prophetess, sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand. And all the women went out after her with tambourines, dancing as Miriam sang to them. Sing to Adonai, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he threw in the sea. Moses led Israel onward from the Sea of Suf, the Red Sea. They went out into the Shur desert, the wilderness of Shur. But after traveling 3 days in the desert, in this wilderness, they had found no water. They arrived at Marah, but couldn't drink the water there because it was bitter. This is why they called it Marah, which means bitterness. The people grumbled against Moses and asked, "What are we to drink?" And Moses cried to Adonai, the Lord, and the Lord showed him a certain piece of wood, a tree, as the NASB says, which when he threw it into the water, made the water taste good. It's sweet. There Adonai made laws and rules of life for them, and there he tested them. He said, if you will listen, give earnest heed, if you will listen intently to the voice of Adonai, the Lord, your God, do what he considers right. If you do what is right in his sight, if you pay attention to his mitzvah and observe his laws, I will not afflict you with any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, because I am Adonai, your healer. The New American Standard Bible version for verse 26 says, and he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. Psalm 91 is a beautiful psalm. And that's one that talks about, you'll see others fall at your side, but diseases will not come on you. In verse 10, it talks about that. It talks about he is there to protect us. But today we're going to rejoice in his power. And I often don't go to the message, but I am right now for verses 1 through 6. Exodus 15:6. But 1 through 6. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to God, giving voice together. I'm singing my heart out to God. What a victory! What an acclamation! What a praise, enthusiastically and publicly, it is being shown. He pitched horse and rider into the sea. God is my strength. God is my song. And yes, God is my salvation. This is the kind of God I have, and I am telling the world, this is the God of my Father. I'm spreading the news far and wide. God is a fighter. Adonai, the Lord, is a warrior. He is a pure God through and through. Pharaoh's chariots and army he dumped in the sea. The elite of his officers he drowned in the Red Sea. Wild oceans, waters poured over them. They sank like a rock in the deep blue sea. Your strong right hand, God, shimmers with power. Shimmers with power. Your strong right hand shatters the enemy. We have something to rejoice about, and it is good for us to remember, to look at the Bible and what he has done, to remember, just as they, the Israelites, were commanded to remember what the Lord has done, to praise him. But we also know of awesome, the power of God, the awesomeness of how he has affected other lives, as we see in Marcus Gray's life, flame. Wow, to be on fire for the Lord God. And we are going to see more and more lives changed. But we have to claim that. And we are going to see the power of God moving in our lives continuously. If our hearts are totally his. If we love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. with all our being, knowing we're going to be imperfect, as mentioned earlier, but our heart's desires to be His, totally, completely surrender to Him. We will have that joy of the Lord as my strength. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. King David continued to pray in Psalm 51. But every day we should be rejoicing in that, because we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He was born for us. And every day we should celebrate the Christmas, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ to each and every one of us, because that meant He died on the cross at Calvary for each and every one who's willing to receive the blood that was shed for them, because He carried everybody's sins on that cross. And He died and conquered everybody's sins. Amen. And He rose again with the power of the resurrection, which is ours. So we can have the power of His name, the power of His blood constantly working us, the power of the resurrection constantly with us, because the Holy Spirit is with us. Amen. Because of Jesus. So every day we should have this. And if we're down and out, say, Lord, restore to me the joy of Your salvation. Because I am so thankful when I was saved. And I'm thankful that You are my Savior. But I want You to always be my Lord, my Master. This strong right arm, this mighty arm, this shimmers, well, some of the different translations say, is glorious in power, is dominant in power, is a tremendous force of Your right arm, is magnified in strength, amazingly strong, amazingly gloriously strong, wins glory because it is strong, is awesome in power, majestic in power, majestic and powerful, great in power, magnificent in power, honorable in power. All these different versions and translations, we need to rely on His arm in us and through us, His power in us and through us, helping us, guiding us through the challenges of life. Yes. Matthew chapter 11, verse 5, the Message. Jesus told them, go back and tell John what's going on. John the Baptist is in prison. He's going, are you the promised Messiah? And Jesus tells him, go back and tell John what's going on. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side. Is this what you were expecting? Then count yourselves most blessed. Are we expecting? Are we expecting those miracles? Are we? Are we letting doubt and unbelief crowd us out? If you have just the faith of a mustard seed, you can see the power of God move. And He grabs onto that. Because as that gentleman's son in Mark 9 was dying, and the disciples couldn't raise him. And so He goes, Jesus, I know, I've heard You've healed people. I know You have. And he may have even seen it, but... And Jesus goes, you know, hey, if you believe, anything is possible. And the father cries out, I believe, but man, I'm struggling. I need You to help me. And I need You to help my unbelief, my lack of faith. And what does Jesus do? He meets him right where he's at. He takes that mustard seed faith and he attaches his faithfulness, his all-power faith, and attaches to that and explodes with his power into the touches his son, and his son is healed. Amen. This is what we need to expect. For this, the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side, just like John Newton found out, just like Marcus Gray found out. So, we need to be in the hood. We need to occupy the hood. And I don't remember what slide that's on, but we need to occupy the hood. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The hood, well, that's the slang meaning for neighborhood. It could also mean the slang meaning for a ghetto, but it also is a slang meaning for neighborhood. Your neighbor is anybody you're running into. God created all mankind. The earth is God's, so this is his hood. And so we need to love those and extend and be his hands and his feet to touching those, loving them. And that means loving the enemies. That means loving and honoring the unhonorable, the unlovable. But we can only do that with the power of his right, outstretched, mighty arm and strength in us and through us as we lean and depend on him. For it is the power of his forgiveness and the love that can rush into us, continuously pouring out of us and into others. But are we his? For there are many other scriptures that talk about that great commandment of loving your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19:18, Matthew 19:19, Galatians 5:14, Deuteronomy 6:4 and 5 talks about loving him with all of your heart, soul, mind. Matthew 22:37 through 39. These are scriptures that talk about loving your neighbor as yourself. And then I was like, well, I'm curious, you know. I mean, I kind of know what homie means, but I'm like curious, what is the slang? So I looked it up, and then it says slang for homeboy. So homie is slang for homeboy. So I was going, okay, all right, what does homeboy mean? And it says closest friend. I go, wow, yeah, homie, that's what he does. I mean, Galatians 3:26 tells us, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Well, we are also his sons, his boys. But we are also his homies, his homeboys that are his closest friends. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that joy may be full. For remember, as Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's why King David was saying, restore to me the joy of your salvation, because he knew that was his strength. It was God in him and through him. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. 2 Chronicles 27 talks about Abraham, your friend. Isaiah 41:8 says, Abraham, my friend. James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Do you remember that rap line? But he's worthy to be trusted. He's a keeper of his word. Well, do you believe that? El Shaddai. He referred to that on slide 80. And it says, I am Almighty God. And that is from Genesis 17:1, is that little scripture reference. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Or I am God Almighty. El Shaddai, meaning the all-sufficient one, the all-powerful one, the almighty one, the only true God. Do you believe in the only true God? Do you believe in his mightiness?
Yes.
Do you believe that this is his word?
Yes.
As 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. Micah 6:9 says, the voice of the Lord calls to the city, and it is sound wisdom to hear and fear, to have deep respect, love, and awe of his name. Hear, heed, pay close attention to the rod, his word, the Bible, and him who has appointed it. The Hebrew word, rod, matah, comes from the word meaning branch. A rod of chastening correction, but it's also for ruling, scepter, which represented supreme royal authority and power. An object for throwing. A lance is a sharp thrusting weapon. The Bible also refers to the word of God as sharper than any two-edged sword. It's also for walking, a staff, a support of life like bread. This rod, whether it is amplified version or expanded Bible version or New King James Version, NIV, it is there to help us to walk along with the challenges that we face each and every day. This rod is ours, and it is mighty and it is powerful, and it can change up and do what is needed to do when it is needed for his purposes, for his glory, as you are his vessel, his instrument, surrendered completely and totally to him. For Hebrews 4:12a says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Remember, Jesus is the word. He was there in the beginning. In him was life. In him, he made this earth with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They created, and this is alive and always will be. It is strong and it is standing. Jesus is our rod. Exodus chapter 4 was the first part where Moses is going, well, how am I going to lead them? And he says, what do you have in your hand? And he says, a rod. And so he tells him to use that rod and gives examples, constantly showing the mighty power, because Moses believed in him and trusted him and was obedient. Just as we can be friends of God if we are obedient. Doesn't mean we do not still fear him. It doesn't mean that we still love him and honor him. But we need to be his. We can show that the power of God and his works will plainly be seen, as John 3:21 says, because we are obedient to him, because everything he asks us to do will be divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence upon him, in obedience to him. And then, as John 6:21 says, when we have him in our boat, that peace that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in the midst of what's going on. For in John 6:21, this is not the time when he was got in the boat and he was sleeping and woken up in the storm and said, peace be still. It was the instant that he entered the boat, the peace was there. He did not speak. Is he in your boat? Because there may be things going on. But if he's in your boat, you can have that peace that surpasses all understanding to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, in the power and the authority of his name. You add those two together, 3 + 2 + 1, 6 + 2 + 1 equals 15 divine grace. By the power of his divine grace, we will see miracles happen. On this pulpit is the scripture verse, Ephesians 3:20-21. The Amplified, as we all know, I like that one. Now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. We can be singing those songs. The message says he does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. Glory in his power. The verse that we had for this year is Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Catalina, Tucson, and in all Judea, Arizona, and Samaria, the United States, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth, the entire world. Amen. The power in that Greek word is dunamis. It means that force. Literally or figuratively, specifically miraculous power. And it's usually by implication of a miracle itself. Ability, the abundance, meaning, might, mightily, mighty deed, the worker of miracles, power, strength. And we need to remember we have that in and through him. As we remember what Moses did, he obeyed God. And we saw the power of God work mightily through him. So we need to receive the impartation that the Lord has for us. His power. His precious holy word to claim, proclaim, declare, to pray, move in, and abide in his power and his presence and his peace. For the definition of impart is to communicate information of knowledge, give a quality to something, to give something a particular quality, in other words, to pass on, to inform, to tell, to convey, to report, to teach, to instruct. We have that from the Holy Spirit. John 16:13-15 talks about that. And in verse 14, it says, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ because he will take of, receive, draw upon. What is Jesus's? Because it says earlier, everything that is the Lord's is Jesus's. And he will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. This is the power. This power, as that prayer, the power of prayer slide shows, this power and those words that it says, the 139, and it says, and those words, the P, the R, the A, the Y, the E, the R, it talks about different things like strength, courage, mercy, feel, recovery, encounter, forgiveness, lead, learn, love, peace, joy, growth, revival, inspired, salvation, receive, truth, sustain, trust, glory, understanding, overcome, worship, wisdom, restored, confidence, safety, knowledge, patience, power, faith, blessing, grace, win, protection, relationship, comfort, miracle, change, heal, revelation, purpose, health, confession, rest, transform, support, refresh, life, pleasure, hope, breakthrough, direction, values, focus. As we pray, this releases so much in us and through us and by us as we're his vessels, his instruments. But we need to remember that pray not only is praising him and giving him your requests. Praise includes that praise, that that expresses your gratitude of who he is, with the R meaning recognizing who he is, acknowledging, remembering who he is and what he has done, just as the Israelites were told to remember who the Almighty El Shaddai God is. We need to have that acclamation. We need to acclaim him, the A for pray, because we need to enthusiastically and publicly not just praise him and in your home and in your heart and you're praising him and you're grateful and you're thankful, but man, you are out there in the hood and you are telling them about Jesus, how he changed you and being, sometimes it's not even by words. Sometimes it's just being there. It's just holding a hand. As when I was in the grieving and mourning process deeply with my dad, sometimes you know when you've seen somebody else, you just need to be there. As I was talking to my husband, he's probably enjoying it because I'm very talking very little lately. And I said, you know, and he goes, yeah, I know. And he says, and he's not even, last night we were talking, I go, wow, I just wanted to sit next to him because I'm still not able to do a lot of conversation. And he says, did you notice I'm not drawing a conversation? I said, well, a couple times you tried, but, you know, you've seen that it ain't working. And I'm getting better. But still, there's that grieving and mourning that's going on. But he's just there. And I was like, Pastor Janet, when we were at the leadership, Four Square Leadership Training Intensive in Phoenix the last couple days, and I went, but I warned one of the staff members of what I was going through. Oh, the first night, they had some pastors from Vegas, and they're talking about family things and memories, and then he's talking about the A's. Well, that was my dad's favorite team. Remember when I officiated the service, I did research because I love sports too, but I didn't remember all the facts about the Oakland A's and the Oakland Raiders, so I pulled that in and then pulled it around and brought it into a salvation message. And the guy pitched for the Oakland A's. So, of course, the tears are rolling as they're talking about father-daughter relationship and then baseball and Little League and the kids, and that was our life with three brothers and my dad coaching all the time. So the tears were flowing, but people were just there. And I was telling Pastor Janet yesterday, I go, man, I want me back. I want me back. That is just... Okay, I know you see it right now, but I mean all the time when I'm just, you know, I'm just like, yeah, my car going, yeah, God, all right, I'm driving as best I can with the seatbelt on, praising him. When I'm at home, just all of a sudden moved to turn on something and I'm just praising and worshiping him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, because right now it's there, but it's not the way that I normally do it. And that's going to come because they are going to know. I will not keep my mouth shut unless I'm told to keep it shut. But that's where the why is yielding. We are yielding to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because it's then that we will produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then he will be glorified and seen. We will see the Lord move in a mighty and powerful way. But only when we are willing to obey him. We are asked to do the prayer and fasting for 24 days. And remember, the fasting was supposed to be something that you were going to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you on. For those that have been here, we were asked to do that. I presented that in December. They had 4 weeks to pray and seek the Holy Spirit. What to fast? Because for a vegan, going on a Daniel fast is no big deal. For some people, fasting is no big deal. So I asked the Holy Spirit to what each one would be a sacrificial fast. And then to pray. So we have 3 more days through Wednesday. So I'm asking you to pray, praising him, recognizing who he is, with acclamation and yielding to the Holy Spirit as you watch, look, and listen with eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit says. For this is where the heart will magnify what is in his word to you. It'll break the fast through and bring revelation that, aha, and that light bulb will go on. If you're willing to receive it, breakthrough's coming. But we need to expect miracles. The Pentecostal power is coming. As it happened in Azusa Street revival at the Bonnie Bray House, it started there. And the Angelus Temple is right near that, where that all happened. And that parsonage, the picture. Well, the next picture, remember, shows the signs of wonders and miracles of the healing mighty power on 130. And it shows, is it messing up again? And so, and it shows that. And we are going to see more of that. Obviously not those kind of instruments. And so many people have metal and stuff, and people are just going to be healed. And they'll go and get an x-ray and it's gone. And there's a new bone. I mean, we're going to see that. And we need to expect it, though. Are we praying and fasting for that? Are we praying and fasting? Are we caring for the souls out there? But remember, we're the body of Christ, right? So we need to not just say, you need to come to Pathway of Hope. No. We need to pray that they are led by the Holy Spirit and God guides and directs them exactly to the church that He wants them to be a part of, to grow in Him and to be used with the gifts and talents He's given each of them. But the part of the body of Christ is not to lure people away from other churches or to lure them only to hear. The part of the body of Christ is to work with others, to work for Him, and to love on others, and to encourage other Christians to be strong in Him, and help them when they're down and out. That's what we're here for. And then to be that light and help an extension of His love to others, so that they may see the power of what God's done in your life, and see you respond in a kind word when somebody else wouldn't, as happened at Paul's work. And Paul said, did I offend you and I need to apologize? She goes, what? You would apologize? Well, that other employee hadn't had that happen, obviously, before. He goes, yes, I would. We need to have that type of always being that light for Him, that expression of His love, that expression of His power, to be able to know how to act and respond, not react, but respond in a way that glorifies Him. For as we pray, we will see the power of the Holy Spirit just shining brightly, that Pentecostal power. And we're not just praying for here, a Pathway of Hope. We are to go APE every day. APE, the acronym, always pray every day. But we are to also remember to pray for the peace for Jerusalem and Israel. We are a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. And as the next slide, 135, shows, we need to also remember that power of the number 15, divine grace. For it is Him that helps us. And it's through us that we will be able to reach Catalina, Oro Valley, Tucson, and way beyond with the power of His love, including praying for those Christians throughout the world to be strong in Him, mighty for Him, to help spread the gospel, to help those who are missionaries, because they are claiming the blood of Jesus. And when Jesus was born, Jesus dying on the cross, the power of His blood, the power of His resurrection. So this, I want to encourage you with the prayer and fasting to continue to remember and believe in the breakthrough. For the power of the prayer is claiming the power of the cross. The power of the prayer is claiming that strength and all that it has for us. It will power us up so that we will be mighty warriors, strong Christian soldiers for the Lord, unstoppable with the armor of God on us, which includes the power of prayer. And we will be able to do all things that Christ asks us to do, for it is Jesus Christ who will strengthen us to do it for God and for His glory. But together, we're joining together. We're going to pray, praise Him. Recognize who He is with acclamation, yielding to the leading of the Holy Spirit, not only for here, but for the world, with the power of that wonderful cross. The power, as we claim, we are a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center, because people need Jesus. He is that bridge. He is that pathway. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. And we need to help those who do not have the destination of heaven to know that there is a day of judgment, and that there is a heaven and a hell. But Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the only truth. And He is the only life. It is because of that power. This is what we have in Him and through Him. And why are we living? For Him, it is the power of that wonderful, beautiful gold cross. Because that gold cross, that power, reminds me of the streets of gold. one day we will be walking on the streets of gold. That is the power of the hope that each of us have. Yesterday, in the leadership, a pastor shared that through communion, Jesus was tying the bow around their relationship. He was tying the community to their mission. Now they were clearly a team. We are a team who have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. A word that the Lord spoke to us through Chris Bauernfein on October 20th said, "You're my pleasure, you're my delight. Your worship pleases me." And this was during worship, and at that time we had the Lord's Supper where everybody during worship could come and take the Lord's Supper during that time. And it says, "As you took the elements, you took me, and I offer all I have to you. Your worship and your hearts are open to me, and I see it and have no fear. I am here, and I am working through you. And the small beginnings are so that I can nurture your hearts before I explode into your midst." His power is going to explode here, but we need to keep our hearts for him. And we need to keep it pure. And we need to keep surrendered to him, dying to self, but living in him and through him and by him for his glory. So in this time, we need to prepare our hearts. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." So at this time, as 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 32, you know, the Apostle Paul was warning the Corinthians about taking the Lord's Supper, this communion time with unforgiveness, with hearts that weren't right. So as Pastor Janet plays this song, and you can worship with him if you feel led to, but I want you to also be preparing your heart, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal anything that maybe you need to confess, maybe you need to forgive and repent of it. You know, just ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to be prepared for this special time of remembering what Jesus did for each and every one of us. Thank you, Jesus.
Able, more than able.
7, 23 through 26, as the Apostle Paul was talking to the Corinthians and presenting the Lord's Supper and reminding them of that night when Jesus took the bread, the night that he was betrayed, the supper with his disciples. And he had given thanks and he broke it and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let us partake together. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your body that was broken for us. And we are claiming that by your stripes we are healed. We are claiming that you came to heal all diseases, and we thank you and praise you for this, Lord. We thank you for what you did for us. Thank you, Jesus. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for the cleansing power of your blood, that we are washed whiter than snow, that we are cleansed of all unrighteousness. We thank you and praise you for the blood that you shed for us. And as verse 26 in 1 Corinthians 11 says, "For as often as each of us eats this bread and drinks this cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death, you, Lord Jesus Christ, your death till you come." And then we know that you are coming soon, and we thank you and praise you for that. May we be ready. May we be your spotless bride. But in the meantime, may we continue to work fervently for you, for we are thanking you and praising you for the power of your blood, the power of your body, the power of your resurrection, the power of your name, the power of your word, the power of the Holy Spirit in us. For you are our Lord and our Savior. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for the power of prayer. I'm going to pray the prayer of benediction for each one of you, and I'm going to kneel as the Apostle Paul did. And afterwards, we're going to have the prayer altar ministry team standing over there. And I want you, as the music is playing, to either fellowship with others or to go for prayer. Because there is power in prayer. And we need to not forget that, but claim it, live it, and proclaim it. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your precious holy word. And I claim, proclaim, declare Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26 for each and every person here and anybody who hears this on the internet or by via a disc or however they do. But Lord, I thank you for the power of your word that knows no boundaries. May you, Lord God, bless each and every one here and who hears this. May you watch over each one, guard each one, and keep each one. May you, Lord God, make your face to shine upon and enlighten each one, and being gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to each one. And may you, Lord God, lift up your approving countenance upon each and every one and give them your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard their hearts and their minds in Jesus Christ. For the peace you give is not like this world. And we thank you and praise you that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Almighty. We thank you and praise you, Lord God, and we give you all the honor and the glory. May you be with us as we walk out here, the mission field, in the hood, so that we can represent you, for we are your homies. And we thank you for that, Lord, that you saved a wretch like each and every one of us. May we glorify you continuously in thought, in word, in deed. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.